calm as I see him. Hey, listen, thank you very much, worship team. Not just a good job every week, I'm dedicated to it, but listen, it is an awesome thing to lead people into the presence of the Lord in worship. It is a thing you and I will be doing forever. We will continue to worship and praise and acclaim God as the God that he is. Do you understand that? You won't have to listen to the likes of me after a couple of years. You don't hear about preachers in heaven, all right? We become part of the worship team after this, and we worship the God of the universe together. And these folks just give us a hint. So appreciate what they're doing. A lot of times we might clap. Don't do that. But do this. Just say thank you to them when you see them. They practice. Here's a group. They practice privately. There's a lot of planning that goes into putting a service together before it even gets to practice. You get the idea. So just be mindful these folks are working to lead us all into the presence of the throne of grace. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's bow in prayer and let's do this together. Can we do this for just a minute? Can you bow your head with me? And with your head bowed and as hard as it is to block out distractions. I mean, I've been flirting with two cute little girls sitting near me back there, and they're just adorable. But it's a distraction. It's a fun thing to do, winking and waving and stuff, which I'm doing as I've been leafing through a Bible. But the truth of the matter is we're here to do something else. And right now especially, we're here to look into the revealed Word of God, which we don't take lightly. So can you do this with me right now with your head bowed? Can you just pray silently in your heart, maybe for the first time again in a while? Lord, teach me this morning. Lord, teach me by your word this morning. Would you pray that and honestly mean it? And Father, that is exactly what we pray. I pray that you take words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and, Father, make them pleasing to you. I pray that what gets said and what gets done here this morning might be you doing the speaking through your powerful word. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This is therapy for me to say what I'm thinking this morning, but I'm just going to say it, all right? I have watched people for a lot of years, and I don't know people well enough here if you were part of this, so I'm not aiming at you, but people that I've known in churches over the past bunch of years that for whatever reason start running from conference to conference. In fact, a few years ago, eschatology, the study of last things, and people had to run off to see what so-and-so said about last things. I really think, Matt, you and I are blowing the million-dollar opportunity here. We should be doing this right now and putting out our book. Matt and I delve in a lot of areas when we spend time alone. We ought to be doing it right now, man, and make our $1 million and confess it later. Okay. Matt's already there. I'm just kidding around, but he knows what I'm talking about. That whole thing about eschatology comes up every X amount of years of last things, and people start writing books, and people like you and I buy it, and we just buy it, and we buy it, and we buy it. Cha-ching, 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 and at the end of the time, Jesus doesn't come like the authors told me. But I've watched people run from conference to conference, from speaker to speaker, because they're looking for that missing thing in the faith, that thing that's going to make their faith finally come to fruition, finally be perfect. And they go and they try to get more people from church to go because you got to hear this speaker. You got to go to this conference. You got to see what they have to say. It changed my life. And it goes on and goes on and goes on like that. Some of that might be true. But the fact of the matter is some unscrupulous people who are sometimes teachers of these conferences will say something like this. I read one of their brochures that said this, that they had the secret formula and method for spiritual peace and genuine maturity. In fact, if you pay this amount of money, you can have access to my videos. And by the way, that is the key phrase in all of this. If you pay this money, you can have access to my videos. And if you pay another $29.95, you can get a signed copy of my book. People do it. You know what Augustine said? And I didn't put it in your notes, and I should have, but this is worth hearing. St. Augustine said this, that thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and restless are our hearts until they rest in thee. Oh, we did put that in the notes. That's even better, okay? Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and restless are our hearts until they rest in thee. So I don't want to this morning get like those guys that are out there at the carnival hawking people in to hear this stuff. But let me tell you something. I this morning am the one who has the plan. Let me do this for a couple minutes and get out of my system, okay? I've got the program that will produce in you something you've never seen before. I guarantee you it will produce your maturity. I guarantee you it'll make you smart. I guarantee you it'll give you wisdom. It will give you discernment. It will give you all of the stuff you've been looking for in your life. And we all know that there... makes you wonder if at another time I didn't do this for real, okay? You all know that you're this close, but you don't know what's going to close the gap and get you all the way there. But I have the answer for you. So you come to me, and I will let you have my videos. I will let you buy my book. I will let you come to my conference. In fact, if you buy this program this morning, I promise some very specific things will happen to you. I guarantee you that if you buy my program this morning, you will have every bit of spiritual nutrition you have always needed and you've longed for. And we all know that we've got a gap in our spiritual nutrition. My program will give you that. I promise that you'll be fruitful. I promise you'll be extremely productive in all situations and all circumstances. I promise you'll have strength and you'll be strong, not like you are now, but stronger than you've ever been in your life. Are you with me so far? Don't you want some of this? And I promise you more than anything else that if you do this, you will be prosperous. Wow. And you know what? I mean everything what I just said. In the Lord. You'll be prosperous in the things that matter. You'll be strong in your stand for Him and your voice for Him like never before. Your witness will go out like never before. I promise if you stick with the plan this morning that I really do have, lo and behold, you'll see that gap that you really might feel is in your life of spiritual maturity, that this will give it. And right about now, you just want to stand to your feet and go, Mike, what is it? And if I was doing this in an audience, I would have planted somebody to stood up and say, hey, Mike, what is it? You got to have it right now. And I go, aha. And for the price, you can have it today at a special deal too. And if you buy now, but wait, there's more. All seen that, right? You know, we have a game. Now, I've got to be a little serious, though. My wife and I have a game in our house. One of those commercials comes on. And they're going, blah, 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 and I'm just like, gee, you know. We guess the price of the article before it comes up. And start that game. It's kind of fun. So we guess it's always $14.99, $15.99, $19.99. It's always in that area somewhere. Some are $9.99. But the best part is this. You got to be able to time when you say, but wait, with the time they say, but wait, for shipping and handling, which is another $20. We'll throw in another one of these things. Okay, great. Listen. I do want you to get control of your spiritual life. I do want you to get serious about it. I do want you in the situation that God has strategically planted you during the week, your family, your work situation, your friendships, I do want you to be strategically important. Meaning, I want you to have impact for Jesus Christ. And it really does come out of this message today. I read another quote that didn't make your notes, but I like this. The vitality of your relationship to God is directly reflected in your hunger and time spent in the Word of God. If you've got your notes out this morning, you should already, and we're through the little advertising for me selling a product I don't really have. But for you to hear what goes on out there and people fall for it, I am serious about being truly spiritual, and this message contains it. A piece of scripture you've seen over and over again, but you need to see it afresh today. And it is from Psalm 1. If you've got your Bible open to Psalm 1, get your notes out, get a pen out, and make note of this important psalm. And you might even want to go back after today and reread this psalm. Maybe commit it to memory and go, aha, that's it. It's not some guy up there hawking a good and a book and a video and a magic trick that goes with it and a two-for-one deal. It's not that. It's right here. And God's Word lays it out. In fact, I want you to notice this in verse 1. There is a great promise that everybody's been looking for, everybody has been searching for, and it's in the first line of Psalm 1, verse 1. And here it is. Blessed is the man. Stop. There it is. That's what I've always wanted. The great promise. I want to be blessed. I want to be considered blessed. And if you go back, take some notes as to what that word means. It means what? Does everybody know what it means? It means happy. Hold it. I've been wanting to be happy for so many years. And I'm just not. How many times have you heard that? I want to be happy. I want to experience happiness. I want true and deep joy. I want when my friends look at me, for us to feel that deep joy between us. I want to be blessed. I want to be happy. I want to be the recipient of blessings. There's no middle ground, folks. You're either blessed or you're not blessed. You're not partially blessed. No, you're either blessed or you are. And you know in our culture out there today, you can go home today, and most of us will, and you'll flip on that television. And you know what you're going to see? is one commercial after another telling you how you can be, here's the word, happy. I want to be happy. I want to be like them. Even the dogs in the commercial look happy. I want to be happy. Look, that dog smiles. That cat smiles. I don't know where he gets. I want to be happy. But the truth is, we all know that happiness is a feeling, is movable. It's fleeting. It's there some days, not there others. Some days you wake up and you go, I feel happy today. Other days you wake up and go, oh man, I just don't have it today. What's the matter with me? It's fleeting. And if you ever notice the commercials, if you ever notice the things the culture teaches us, it teaches us this, that you're in control and you'll be happiest when you're in control and you control certain circumstances and people around you. That's what makes you happy, is those things. And we're not looking at that kind of happiness. And I'm going to get that out of the way right now. This happiness is truly dependent upon the Lord being in control of all things. The thing that makes me happiest, listen, blessed, is when I'm happy. And I just feel, if you spend any time with me, I'm generally speaking, 98% of the time, a happy person. Almost deliriously happy. Some of you are like that too. It's like we've got something wrong. But we're kind of always upbeat and happy. But the truth of the matter is, you can be happy or blessed all of the time by knowing that you're not in control, but the sovereign God of the universe is in control. You know what? I've been in some dicey situations, physically and otherwise, with church bodies, going through all kinds of stuff. At the end of the day, I could say I was blessed, and so could the leadership as we went through stuff, because we knew that God was in control. Well, he's in control of the bigger picture, but listen, he's in control of the little picture. You think it's an accident that you're here this morning? You think it's an accident that you've come to Candlewood? You think it's an accident that you talked to the folks this morning? It's a God who's in control, micro in control of your life, who seek to use you. So, on your notes, there's two parts to this morning. The first part is very simple, and you might not have looked at it intensely, but it's this. It's what the truly godly do not do. The godly person does not do this. Notice in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Notice this thing from verse 1. Did you see it? Walks, sits, and stands. That's different. I don't hear anybody talking that way. Literally, in Hebrew poetry, it's a great device used to indicate the totality of one's life and actions. This is everything you are and everything you do. You're walking, you're sitting, standing. Look at it real specifically. Take notes. You cannot walk in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked, that term is the abnormal and loose of those away from God. You don't walk in their counsel. What does that mean? You don't walk in their plans. You don't walk in their principles. A lot of times things sound good. Everybody ready not to breathe for a minute? A couple of years ago, I was with a guy who was really, I think, very spiritual, I thought. I still know. A guy who I kind of respected. A guy who I got a friendship with. And a guy who read the scripture, prayed, and does like me and speaks. And you know what he told me? Everybody stop breathing, because this is worth hearing. He told me that he had been away from home for a business trip for about a week. And he goes, he'd never done this before, but he met another business associate from another city. She happened to be staying at the same hotel. And he said to me, I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what I did, but, you know, they would tell you in today's climate of people like me, my marriage at home isn't as good as it should be, and my wife really doesn't come alongside me like she used to. So it just seemed like the right thing to do at the time. And I spent a couple nights in her room. I was just sitting there staring at him. You ever get in a situation where somebody really dumps a big one on you, and you go like this, oh, Lord, give me an answer. It was one of those. And I just looked at him. He went on to explain the situation. And then God provided the answer in his life and mine by having me be quiet. Because he continued to talk. And then he went through the system and then tearfully went through the whole almost repentance mode that I just had to wrap up. And I stared at him and thought, this guy is, and I've got him calibrated as more mature than me. I believe walks God more intentionally than me. I believe knows the scripture better than me. I've got him on a different plane. that I hope to be at someday when I grow up. But the truth of the matter is, he fell. And he fell with this woman that he might never see again. And he was riddled with guilt and now had come home and was having to do business with his wife to fix this situation. Let me say this to you. The reason I believe he did that was he bought into the counsel of wicked, their plans and principles, the things that the world tells me out there. The reason you and I go to a movie and we see a distressed situation between a husband and a wife, and the wife finally runs into an old flame who really loved her, and they hook up for a night or a week or a weekend at the beach, and we actually have the impression wash over us as we're watching the movie, just like this. Oh, that's nice. She deserves that. And I know you felt that, and I know I felt that. Because they subtly out there continue to give me those kind of messages. And that's listening to the counsel of the wicked. Their counsel may seem good at times, and we get barraged from TV, media, internet, modern day psychology, etc., etc. And when spiritual people drift away, they drift away just like this. It seems right. It feels right. I deserve this. I work hard. I should get a break. And the list goes on. And then the counsel of the wicked, the counsel of the world creeps in. Turn on any one of your, and I don't, but turn on your daytime talk show people who bring a psychologist on or a relationship expert or a personal coach. Let them come on and tell you how to fix your relationship. Let them try to tell you how casual sex is affirming to your heart, especially after a breakup. You go listen to that stuff, and how many days do you have to hear that before you go like this? I think I'd like some of that too. In fact, I need some of that. And boom, you're on the course. That's listening to the counsel of the wicked. It sounds good initially, but after a couple of seconds, not hours and days, you hear it through the Word of God and go, no, that doesn't make any sense. That goes against the Word of God. That's what it is to walk in the counsel of the wicked. You want to be blessed? You don't do that. Here we go. Next one's on here. You cannot stand in the way of sinners. That word sinners is those who miss the mark. God's mark, God's standard. To stand in this way means to stand or operate as they do in a way which is sin. Missing God's mark. I don't stand in their way. I don't do like they do. I don't try to have my pattern look like them. I don't try to have a pattern of thinking and operating and reacting like them according to what the world teaches. That's not God's system. Do you understand something? We are foreigners here. We don't belong here long term. Let me keep going. They say something that our God doesn't say. We're here for a short term to infiltrate them with what God says. Unfortunately, it's going the other way, and they're infiltrating in here. Why is that? I think Psalm 1 is part of the answer to that. I don't stand in the way of sinners. Look at the next one that's here. You cannot sit in the seat of scoffers. I want to take a second and give you the Hebrew definition for scoffers. Because scoffers doesn't even cut it even close. Listen, get some of these down. These are really good, okay? A scoffer is one who scorns or mocks or ridicules or gossips or doubts or grumps or criticizes or who is a cynic or who is callous. And I like this one the best. Or someone who is sour-hearted. Ever seen anybody like that? I don't sit in the seat of scoffers. This is a battleground for us in Christ. This is where the rubber meets the road for us in Christ. We have got the counsel of the wicked, the way of the sinners, and the seat of scoffers all around us. I can't have a casual conversation with a neighbor. I can't have a phone call with somebody from out of state. I can't even have those kind of contacts with it going down this list of things of people who think they want to advise me. In fact, it's crept so much into the church. I have had friends of mine that I really respected now telling me that what I'm doing is a waste of time because I should be somewhere else doing something else like them. Can you imagine telling somebody that? But that goes on behind your back in phone calls and etc. Look at part two. Let's look at what the truly godly do. Verse 2. Let me read it to you. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's a two-pronged attack here as to what we do as believers in Jesus Christ. And the first one is here is this. We need to delight in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is the term for the Word of God. I need to delight in the Word of God. Well, what does it mean to delight? Could you think of something you delight in? Just absolutely delight. I'll tell you what it is. A little bit later on, you're going to have some dinner. Is everybody here planning on eating later today? You planning on doing that? Some people right about now are thinking it's about time. Okay, good. We're ruled by our stomach. I like that. And you know what? You're going to go to dinner. But you happen to know that either the place you're at or your spouse or yourself have put something very special aside. It's not the dinner part. That's okay. It's the dessert part. And it's your favorite part. And ladies, I'm not going to pin this on you anymore. I'm going to pin this on you and your husbands. It's got chocolate in it. I used to think that was more a female thing, but it's me too. It's got, hold it, as I'm speaking, I have an issue here. Okay. And you know what? It's a delight. And I'm going to enjoy dinner every bit. But you know what? I got something special for dessert. Or I've been to this restaurant before, and they do this chocolate lava cake that's so big and so fantastic. And did I tell you this? It's chocolate. Get the idea? And you've been thinking about it all morning since you knew you were going later to this place. Am I offbeat or not? That feeling you have about that dessert, that's delight. There it is. Delight is a word for pleasure, an absolute pleasure, an absolute joy. It is absolute thing I love to do. I am going to take my dog out and I'm in a field, and I love doing that on a winter day. That's a delight. I like doing that. I love to play my golf. I love to play my tennis. I love being with friends. I live for these moments. That's my delight. Oh, him. He's not a delight. I don't like spending time with him. Interesting. Just so you know the contrast. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11 says this, that the law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect, giving you more reason for why it should be your delight. But why would the Word of God be my delight? Here's another word I'd like to throw in. I am absolutely tickled to fill in the blank. You get it. That's the word delight, all right? The Word of God is such a delight, basically, here it is, because it's our food. It's the only food that we have for spiritual nutrition. The other things that are really important, prayer, meeting together and worship, are vital things. But you can't cut out this basic nutrition of our food spiritually. It's what the Holy Spirit, our tutor, is teaching us and rewiring us by. The Word of God in here is rewiring the system. You understand what I'm talking about? It's putting a new operating system in. It's being installed in me constantly. It is tweaking. It is moving. It is changing. It is taking files that are in there and throwing them out because they don't belong and putting new files in there. That's what the Word of God is doing. This is the very heart of God Himself. And stop right there. Have you thought once, look at this. I know it's a little bit on the large side, but it's a weapon if I throw it at someone, right? Listen carefully to me. Do you realize that God chose a method where He would take His heart and put it here on paper for us? I'm not saying completely Him, but what He wants me to know. And He puts it on paper here so that I might have access to it all the time, so that I might know Him more intimately and grow in the things of Him. If just that one thing is true, which it is, that makes this an absolute delight. Almost above any earthly or pleasurable thing I could do or taste or feel. Here it is. The God of the universe has given us this. And if I told you this, suppose we didn't have this. We didn't have any Bibles at all. There was no scripture. I don't exactly know what we'd be meeting and doing, but we're meeting and doing. But I would tell you, hey, this past week, you're not going to believe this. This past week, God told me to go look behind that tree in the yard. And He said, take a shovel and dig down 3.5 feet. So I did. And you won't believe what I found. I found the Word of God that He's got for us revealed. You'd all sit there in church like this and you'd go like this. Oh! You'd be amazed. You'd be falling over. You'd be high-fiving each other. You've got to be kidding. We've got the Word of God. I said, yeah, we've got the actual Word of God that He's given to us. You'd be ecstatic. Some of you would go like this. Well, get it out here and let's go to the copy machine and burn the copy machine out. I want a piece of it too. Isn't that how we treat that? If you never had the Word of God, and now all of a sudden you had the Word of God, or I got it. Well, Chris, going back to the beginning of this sermon, I go, and you know what? For $19.99, I wouldn't do that to you. I'd say, let's get into this. Let's see what God's got. And you know what? As you read it, guess what would happen? We just copy off big sections, take it home. You couldn't wait to get home. So what if there's a football game on? So what if there's a baseball game on? Suppose you were having neighbors over. That can wait. I've got to sit here with an outliner and study the Word of God. I've never seen anything like this. And lo and behold, it wouldn't take long before someone over here would go, I read this. I can't believe God said this. And so I said, well, I read this, and it goes right along with that. And I can't believe I read this. And we'd start to share, and you'd start to grow in it, and you'd be excited about it. And we'd give our lives over to the delight in the law of the Lord and make it an absolute priority and dive in. Whew. So as you order your week this week, you're like me. You maybe made a list. Hey, remember to eat right. You're starting to put a couple extra pounds on, so eat right, all right? Exercise to take care of that, all righty? Take your supplements. Love your spouse and your family. That's important. Love your kids. Top of the list would be this. Study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. He's revealed Himself to me. You can't keep me from doing that. I'm doing that before I do anything else. Before that chocolate lava cake. You get it. So let me ask you this. We're getting toward the end here. Is it that kind of a priority in your life, the Scripture? And let me give you your answer before you answer. No. It may be a priority. It may be a semi-priority. You may wish it was a priority. You're really thinking of making it a priority. But are you really someone who has a delight in the Word of God in your heart, a true joy for it, and do you look forward to it? And do you arrange your schedule for it? And do you rearrange your schedule for it? And does it show priority in your life? And I'm not here to throw any more guilt. I'm talking to myself right now. Let's move on. The second thing that's here about what the truly godly do is they need to meditate day and night on the Word. There are two verses in Scripture that I think are like this. One Old Testament, one New Testament. The Old Testament one here is meditate day and night on the Scripture. The New Testament one that comes to mind every time I read this is this. Pray without ceasing. Which is maybe comes to some of your minds. So for some reason to me, they run on parallel tracks teaching the same thing. That everything about you has to be involved around the things of God. Write down some of the words that meditate means. This is great. Meditate in Hebrew means this. And watch this, you're going to get a big color picture here. It means to sing. It means to groan. It means to utter. It means to growl. I don't get what that growl means. Growl. Okay, you get the idea. To ponder. It means to have total amusement with. To turn it over and over in your mind because you never get over it. And all of this makes us fed in our inner person. It basically means this, that it consumes me. It consumes me so much that the Word of God actually changes what I do. That the Word of God actually changes what I think. Very good example. You're driving in downtown. You come to a corner you go by all the time. And there is a homeless, wretched, dirty person sitting on the corner panhandling, begging. You drive by there day after day, week after week, and that person's been there forever. In fact, you might say it's his corner. Because other people do. And you look at him and you go like this. What a bum. What a bum. Get a job. Get on your feet. Start working. Do something. Doesn't look like anything's wrong with you. And you're sitting at the red light looking at this guy having all these kind of thoughts. And as you study the Scripture and maybe the mind of Jesus Christ starts to take over you. Now when you stop at the red light, you look over and see the same guy. And you have a different thought. It might even be this. Wonder what I need to do. What would God have me to do in his life to help him out, to make a difference? Maybe the poor guy hasn't eaten quite a while. Maybe the guy's sitting out here doing all the inches of rain we've been getting the past 2 or 3 days, and he's stuck outside. Maybe I need to park my car and talk with him and maybe even just share Jesus Christ with him. That's the kind of difference that the Word of God makes as you meditate on it day and night. It is something that you're consumed with. It's something you're consumed with in your heart, and your life will bear it out. It has to come out. And when this is done, then look at verse 3 with me. Verse 3 gives you the result of this. When you're done not walking and not standing and not sitting in all the wrong places, and if you feed the inner man, delighting in God's word and meditating on that word, then you're going to look like this. Verse 3, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in all he does, he prospers. Cha-ching, and it doesn't mean a bank account. It means prospers in the things and purposes of Jesus Christ for the short life that we've been put here. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? With your head bowed, this in no way was meant to be a guilt sermon in any way. But to be transparent in front of you, it did cause me this week as I was prepping it and studying it, it did cause me to evaluate my relationship with the Scripture, the actual revealed Word of God, and how easy and callous I've gotten about it. Yeah, I read it, but not like I should be, as that message from God Himself. Listen, with head bowed this morning, as you've heard some of these points and thought once again about the Scripture in your life, if you claim Jesus Christ, I can only challenge you to reassess the Word of God in your life, the place that it has, the priority it has, and what are you doing with it? Where are you feeding on it? How is it changing things about you so that you resemble Christ in thoughts and actions? Father, I pray for us at Candlewood. Father, I pray that we might be a people who love your word like never before because we love you and want to serve you and glorify you. Father, I pray even this week that where need be, you convict us as a group of individuals that we might get into your word, that we might study it, that we might pray through it, and Father, that we'd let it do the work it needs to do in us, rewiring us from the inside out. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.